Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, happy opening day of the regionals on the road to Omaha. True story here before we bring in our next guest. I was at his favorite steakhouse here in Omaha, and we're 2 weeks away from the College World Series. He already has his table reserved at the Drover. It is Kendall Rogers from D1 Baseball. Good morning, my friend.
How's it going?
Good. Yeah, have you already worked on your meal plan for your trip back to Omaha in 2 weeks?
Man, I just kind of go on the fly. I'm kind of one of those guys, like, you know, yeah, I kind of get around to calling the Drover next week, trying to figure out a time. But, yeah, I kind of go on a fly these days.
Well, that's okay. Hey, you're a busy man, so I appreciate you joining us on Friday. Hey, help me here. There's a lot of different ways we're going to go. People are now becoming very familiar with Wake Forest and how dominant they've been on the mound. Are they a legitimate team to not only be the number one overall seed, but for the first time in, what, 24 years, be the number one overall seed and win a national championship?
I think they could. I mean, I think the biggest thing when I look at Wake, they're just really balanced. You know, on the mound, they have Rhett Lauder at the front of the rotation. You know, you look at Sean Sullivan and, you know, that bullpen with Camden Minacci and guys like that, Seth Keener. They're loaded on the mound. And, you know, think about those guys offensively. You know, they're just as balanced as LSU from an offensive standpoint. So, I actually do. I kind of feel like this is a team that has been on cruise control all year long, and I kind of expect that to continue.
Hey, Kendall, a lot of the conversation around the Alabama baseball team was more on the negative side. You're losing your head coach, got a little bit of the gambling thing going on. But as far as what this team looks like, first of all, how they've kind of moved past that, which seems to have not really fazed them at all. But now when you kind of look at that team on the whole, as far as their ability to get to Omaha, where would you kind of put them amongst the one seeds?
I'll tell you what, man, I actually really like Alabama's team. You know, I saw those guys in College Station a few weeks ago. I've obviously watched them a lot this year. I watched them a lot last week. Mm-hmm. And I love their vibe. I mean, I give them a lot of credit for rallying around this whole just ugly situation. But when you look at them from a pitching standpoint, again, when I look at the postseason, I look at teams who can string together good starts. And really and truly, if you look around college baseball, there's not many teams that you look at the rotation and you go, hey, I feel pretty good about this rotation. You know, I was sitting there doing regional previews yesterday, and, you know, some of the ERAs from some of these talented arms was just mind-boggling. Like, I'm sitting there like, how in the world does this guy have a 5.5 ERA? And when you look at Alabama, for the most part, it's a really stable, consistent, good week in rotation. And, you know, offensively, their offense kind of, you know, gravitates around Andrew Pinckney and Tommy Seidel. They're loaded at the top half of that lineup. And so, I actually think Alabama is dangerous. The only thing about them that kind of concerns me is the fact they have not been in this situation in a very long time, to where they're hosting a regional. There's a little bit more pressure, I feel like, when you host. And how they handle that will kind of determine their fate, in my opinion.
Hey, let's go to Columbia. I remember watching South Carolina at the end of April, and they sweep Florida. And I'm thinking, man, South Carolina baseball is back. They've ridden the roller coaster of late. And then all of a sudden, they limped to the end of the season.
Yeah.
That is an intriguing regional because there's Campbell sitting there at number two, which I know, especially with you and the rest of the guys on the staff, are like, you know what, this is more than just a cute story. Campbell's really good. Who gets out of Columbia?
Yeah, you know what, I actually still like South Carolina. I mean, the thing about Campbell, I really like their club. Justin Hare does an incredible job. But, you know, I look at South Carolina, and I kind of feel like they're – like a cornered bear a little bit. Like, you know, everybody's talking smack about how they don't deserve to host. You know, their own fans are talking about how they want to fire Mark Kingston before the postseason even begins. I just think this team's going to play with a lot of emotion. I think they're going to play with a lot of fire, and I think that bodes well for them. The good thing for them is it sounds like Will Sanders will be back this weekend. I don't know. It sounds like he's going to kind of have a hybrid role for them. But getting him back on the mound certainly helps them, and they're probably the healthiest they've been since, you know, late March from an offensive standpoint. So I'm actually one of those people. I kind of hope they do well just because their fans have just almost been like embarrassingly bad to Mark Kingston. And I would love nothing more than for him to kind of prove those guys wrong a little bit.
I was talking about this earlier, Kendall, about a lot of intriguing two seeds in this. And there's so many different regionals that you can look at and make a case for a two seed, obviously, because I don't know if maybe with the exception of, I don't know, Wake Forest having seen, you know, Maryland, maybe there's a little bit more of a gap there. But I'm looking at that Stanford regional, Texas A&M. Like that team a lot. Also looking at, even if you go down to the Baton Rouge regional, and then even in Clemson, where you're looking at Tennessee, a team that was a favorite to make it to Omaha last year and now is a two seed. Who do you feel like maybe is the most dangerous two seed given their regional right now?
Yeah, I think Tennessee. I mean, the thing about Clemson, you know, Eric Backich, who, by the way, for Omaha people, you know, he's a Michigan head coach. Mm-hmm. They played Vandy for the title a couple of years ago, or I say a couple of years ago now. It was more like 4 years ago. But, you know, he's done an incredible job this year, and they've won 16 straight games. But I'll be honest with you, as strange as this sounds, like, I don't know if I want to win 16 straight games going into the postseason because, like, in a way, like, sometimes mentally – like, you don't know, you don't know how it feels to be in a situation where you're about to lose. And so, you know, I just think Tennessee, this is a team that's underachieved all year long. I feel like they started to play better at the end of SEC play. But, I mean, you look at Chase Dolander, Drew Beam, Chase Burns. I mean, they've got everything they need to make a run to Omaha. I've actually got them getting to Omaha. And then the other team for me, you know, and you mentioned them, is A&M. I think when you look at A&M.
Homer.
You know, yeah, I don't know about that. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see what they do this weekend. Here, the thing about A&M is they kind of flirted with us before. I mean, the Florida series, they went at home. The next weekend, Alabama puts up 23 runs on them in the last two games. So the big key for A&M is they played really well last week. Let's see if they do it again. You know, I didn't pick them to win this regional because I just have not seen them string together consistent weekends. So that's my only holdup. They certainly played really well last week. And then look at TCU as well.
Yeah,
I think, you know, TCU played really well, you know, last week at the Big 12 tournament. And, you know, they've got it rolling right now with Elijah Nunez and Braden Taylor and guys like that. So really intrigued to see how they do this weekend.
Kendall Rogers from D1 Baseball joining us the opening day of the regionals. And D1 Baseball is the place to go. If you're not a subscriber, do it right now. They have an incredible lineup of people that cover the sport, love the sport, have a lot of passion, and also ask tough questions of John Cohen, among others. We'll get to that in a bit. Why? What? Help me here. And we saw him. We've seen him through the Big Ten season. Just saw him here in Omaha. They lost in the Big Ten tournament final on Sunday. They actually got a better draw than Maryland, who won the regular season and postseason. But why are you and why are your colleagues so high on Iowa that it might not just be get out of Terre Haute, but possibly get to Omaha?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me, the common denominator for me with some of these teams is pitching, right?
Yeah.
And I do think, you know, Maryland's solid on the mound, don't get me wrong. But I think when you look at Iowa and you look at that weekend rotation with Brody Brecht, Ty Linkenberg, Marcus Morgan, those three guys have the ability – to go out there and dominate teams. And I think that's what you need to win a road regional. And so, and I think the other thing for me as well is, you know, they've got an older group. You know, Rick Keller's done a great job as their head coach, and they've got experience. And so, you know, Maryland for me is more the draw as to why I don't think they're going to get out. But you make a good point. I mean, Maryland's in an easier or a tougher regional than Iowa is. So that is bizarre, but I think that's one of those things that's just geographic. I mean, I think Iowa or, you know, Terre Haute was the easiest place to send them, so that's where they got sent. People have to remember, you know, this field is not seeded 1 through 64. And so, yeah, you know, you think about it and go, why don't we send Maryland to the easier regional? But the committee doesn't think like that. Like, unfortunately, they don't really dive into it as much as we do as pundits. And that's how you end up with, you know, teams like that with easier draws. And that's why – like historically, people are always like, "Oh man, they gave Texas or they gave LSU an easier draw." I mean, sometimes it's literally just like them placing teams somewhere.
Yeah, because if that's the case, we should have Wake Forest and Tulane playing today.
Exactly. I mean, no doubt. I mean, 19-40. Although I would argue that even though they're 19-40, they're probably better than George Mason.
I would listen to you on that. Let me ask you, you know, I'm a huge fan of yours and we've known each other for a long time and you're a big advocate for college baseball. And I think because of your voice and your colleagues and especially D1, you guys have been able to influence the conversation and get things, some ball rolling where coaches also have a voice, and we've seen changes in this sport. We've got a third assistant coach, which is coming up, and that's fantastic. But there's also the growth of the sport and the optics of the sport. And you and Fitty and Mark talked about this on a podcast the other day, and you've written about it. When John Cohen talks about the RPI and that discussion that went on Monday, what's the next step for the field of 64 that you could see? Not that you hope, Kendall, but you could see happening sooner than later to make sure that we don't have such a discrepancy where the Northeast is basically forgotten about, and it's becoming, even though they're good, it's becoming such a Southern-dominated sport.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is accounting for more road games. I do think teams should get more points. Like Boston College, to me, I really wanted them to host. I mean, if you go look at BC's schedule, the number of road games those guys played was astronomical. And to me, if you're spending 24, 25 games a year on the road, like there should be something baked into the RPI even more so than now. Because right now it's just you get more points on the road for winning a road game. Well, like I want to give people more points for just being on the road all the time. So that's one way to solve that issue. I think intent to schedule and like current RPI when you play a team. I can't tell you how many Northern schools that have gone and played teams early in the season, and they made a strong intent to go play good schools, and all of a sudden at the end of the year, these Southern schools they thought would be good suddenly are 11th or 12th in the SEC or something like that, and it hurts them. And so I would like to see them somehow bake in the RPI formula, like your intent to schedule. Like if you played, let's just say you played Texas, week two, and let's say Texas, finished 500 for the year, but you played them week two, the last 3 years, their average RPI has been like 22. Well, why not take like the last 3 or 4 years of the RPI and bake that into some sort of formula to where you actually get some credit for playing that team, even though Texas might not have had a historically good year. So, I mean, there are a lot of moving parts. I will tell you from our perspective at D1, we're actually going to meet with some analytics people this summer and actually kind of devise a formula. And it sounds like something the NCAA is actually willing to like listen to if we awesome. Come up with something that makes a lot of sense. I will say this, though. You mentioned the Southern-dominated aspect of the sport. I don't think this is that's going anywhere. The problem running into is as a whole in college baseball is this little thing called NIL. And as long as that is a bear, as long as that's a big topic of discussion, and it stays the way it is, that's not going to change. Northeastern schools, I would say some in Western. I think Nebraska can absolutely hang from an NIL standpoint. But like a lot of these West Coast schools, they're never going to pay NIL for baseball to the degree that SEC schools are. So I just think this is one of those deals where, especially as they accumulate more teams like Texas and Oklahoma and the ACC is probably going to expand, this is something that is going to just probably become an even wider disparity. Or these other regions around the country decide, oh, wait, maybe we want to win in college baseball. I will tell you, I still have concerns about the Big Ten. I was told the other day that Ohio State and a couple other schools were not funding the third assistant. That's just mind-blowing to me, and that's what's kind of held that league back.
Okay, and you mentioned that right there. The third assistant, we know that that's been approved. It doesn't mean a school has to actually fund it, but we know that's approved. And you mentioned that you guys are kind of sort of cracking a formula that the NCAA is willing to look at. When you look at the baseball product right now, what you've seen over the last few years, are you in the mindset that this is a sport that the NCAA, it's in a good place as far as evolving, where we are, they're willing to kind of take it to the next step of what is going to best serve this college baseball product?
Yeah, I do think college baseball is still in a really good spot. I mean, the ratings keep going up. People, whether it's ESPN or whatever, I can tell you right now, just from a radio perspective, like I probably got like triple the calls I typically get. So clearly there's a lot of growth around this game. I just want to see some of these other regions, care a little bit more. And I get that there's a money aspect here, but, if you're Ohio State, I'm going to pick on Ohio State. I know Nebraska fans won't mind that.
No.
I'm going to pick on Ohio State. But when you're an athletic department with a budget of $170 million, like, you can pay for the freaking third assistant. Like, come on now. So that's the kind of stuff that I think will help take the sport to the next level, to have schools like that actually care. And maybe the answer is moving the season back a month and a half. Maybe if you did that, maybe some of these schools go, okay, you know what, we'll care about college baseball.
Hey, we'll get you out on this, and just know that I'm going to win the D1 Baseball Bracket Challenge. Who do you have winning it all?
I've got the Florida Gators. I just really love their vibe overall. I mean, this is a really deep lineup. When you look at their pitching staff, they've got a good rotation. They've got a really good bullpen, and they've got power throughout that lineup. So I like the Florida Gators. And I'm like, speaking of the SEC, I think I had four SEC teams getting in, and I also had Wake getting in. I think Wake will be in Omaha.
Okay, and real quickly, I got to get a dark horse out there because Gary's seen them a lot more than I have, but we know traditionally how strong they are. I asked you who the most dangerous two seed is. Would it shock you, especially in that Stillwater Regional, if Oral Roberts was playing in a super?
No. The thing about this postseason is the number of old teams from COVID. You know, remember, we still have kids that have gotten those extra years from COVID. So when you look at how old some of these teams are, ORU is one of those clubs, you know, the Jonah Cox and Matt Hogan. You know, Matt Hogan's a cool story, the South Carolina kickback. Was also at Vandy at one point in his career. But, I mean, they're loaded offensively. They're probably the best overall offensive unit in that regional. And they've got some depth on the mound, too. That would not be that surprising, actually.
Hey, fantastic. Can't wait to see you and the crew here in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. You as well, buddy.
Hey, have a great day today.
You too.
It's Kendall Rogers from D1Baseball.com. Fantastic website. Our guys are geared up. And as you can tell, so even though, like, Ohio State doesn't want to compete in college baseball.
Yeah.
The guys at D1 Baseball, well, you can follow Kendall on Twitter at Kendall Rogers. That is, that's all you need to know about Big Ten baseball.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that was the area that a lot of people assumed, okay, once they approve the third assistant coach, that everybody was on board with. You don't have to fund it. There's nothing saying that you have to fund it. It's available to you, and he brings up a great point. Would maybe Rutgers, that maybe doesn't have the same type of budget that an Ohio State would when it comes to an athletic department, would that be a little bit more, I don't even want to say understanding, but would you maybe put them into that category of a baseball program that would say, yeah, we're not going to fund that, at least not yet, as opposed to an Ohio State? That's sad. Because what is that money that you're going to save going to do for your athletic department?
4 years ago, they had a run here in Omaha.
Exactly.
The NCAA tournament.
Yeah, they beat Nebraska in the Big Ten tournament.
And they have had moments of being relevant.
Yeah.
They play in a nice ballpark.
Yep. I would say in the last decade, they've been in the top six pretty consistently in the Big Ten. That's, again, I ask you, what are you going to do with that money that you're going to save by not paying a third assistant for baseball? Mm-hmm. That's sad.
You can find out anything you missed on that interview with Kendall. The regionals get started this morning around the country. 2 weeks from today is the College World Series here in Omaha. Right now, update with Jimmy.
Yeah, then the rain yesterday got people already thinking about those. Like, oh, here it comes, rain. And
that is a rookie comment right there.
Does that jinx it reverse, though?
You know what? If we're going to be stuck with the rain in the booth, I hope the days that you're hosting a show at Ballpark Village are the days that we have four-hour rain delays and you've got to fill.
Yep.
That is such a rookie mistake.
So you got to start cracking open
but
the World
But I thought
Herald
I jinxed it because I would think that if I said, oh, it's been dry, blah, blah, blah. And like,
and it doesn't work that way, Jim.
Okay.
Welcome to Omaha.
All right.
Welcome to Omaha in June.
I'll take the blame. I did it. An 8-run sixth inning propels Memphis to a 12-6 win over the Storm Chasers last night at Warner Park. Omaha took a 2-1 lead in the fourth on Johan Camargo. Glasses need to be cleaned. 2-run homer, but in the sixth inning, Omaha issues 7 walks, and the first 10 Redbirds reach base safely. CJ Alexander led Omaha with a 2-run homer and a double. Memphis and Omaha continue their series at 7:05 tonight. By the way, the Omaha Runzas return tomorrow. If you have plans and don't want to watch the Stanley Cup Finals. Anyway, college football, the SEC won't be moving a 9-game conference schedule after all, but it will be going forward in 2024 without divisions. Commissioner Greg Sankey told reporters Thursday that the league has approved a temporary 8-game conference schedule for the 2024 football season when it welcomes Texas and Oklahoma to the league. Sankey said that the league will continue exploring scheduling options for 2025 and beyond. He strongly hinted at his preference for a 9-game conference schedule leading up to the SEC's spring meetings in Destin this week. The proposal would have featured 3 permanent opponents, which would preserve long-standing rivalries, as well as 6 rotating opponents. Breaking news, 1620 The Zone has confirmed that the Stanley Cup Finals do in fact start tomorrow night in Las Vegas between the Golden Knights and the Florida Panthers. Get excited.
That's where that went.
You can find it on TNT, so that's good. You'll enjoy their coverage. I don't know if there'll be Charles Barkley. He's a big hockey fan. They wanted to include him, but yes, it is happening. It is tomorrow night. If you're not going to watch the Runzas, sit at home and enjoy some hockey, and they'll look at the ratings and be like, that Omaha, Nebraska, they do love their hockey.
We're a hockey city.
Mm-hmm. The Women's College World Series gets underway in Oklahoma City. Tennessee defeats number 5 seed Alabama, SEC on SEC crime, 10-5 in the opening game. The 50-8 Lady Vols will play number 1 seed Oklahoma on Saturday. They're not impressed by their record, with a winner of that game advancing to the semifinals in the double elimination bracket. The Sooners extended their Division 1 record win streak to 49 games with a 2-0 win over Stanford. OU is now 57-1. Number 3 seed Florida State, they're 56-9. Again, OU's not impressed. They defeat number 6 seed Oklahoma State, a game that started late because of lightning and was delayed another 2 hours in the third inning for lightning and rain. Oklahoma going to Oklahoma. It was reminiscent of the previous World Series game between the teams in 2021 that ended at 2:20 a.m. local time because a rain delay pushed back the start time. So because of all that last night, the game between Utah and Washington that was supposed to follow has been moved to midday today. So there's another thing people can watch. Yeah. We talked about that. It's always fun.
Watch a local product for Washington as well.
Jordy Ball was fantastic yesterday. She was, I mean, Stanford always, it felt like they were one pitch away.
Yeah.
Either from the bases being loaded or they were going to, you know, make it a tension convention in Oklahoma City.
She bowed up a bit.
And Jordy was really good. I mean, 5 hits, 11 strikeouts. It's great because last year she had an arm injury going into the Women's College World Series and she was not a prominent, you know, feature for them. It's interesting to think about in like high school softball in this state. And Papillion-La Vista has been a wagon.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a great program for a long period of time.
Decades.
That the GOAT in softball in this state has always been Peaches James.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful person. She talk about Comine being an automatic. Yeah. When Peaches James pitched for Nebraska, she was an automatic. You could have the two GOATs came from the same program because Jordy Ball is right there. Jordy Ball, who had an incredible high school career, who was originally committed to Nebraska, after her sophomore year,
mm-hmm.
and then decommitted. There was some chatter around the program. She ended up at Oklahoma. I mean, why not? They're in chance to win another national championship. But what she has done in her softball career, I think you have to talk. Peaches James and Jordy Ball are the GOATs of softball, and they came from the same program at Papillion-La Vista.
Yeah. That's incredible. And again, as we talked about, too, with the Metro representation in the Women's College World Series, too, and with Washington and the freshman from Scott as well. So
yeah, if you haven't watched, it's addicting. You guys talked about it the other day when I used to do some of the softball games at Kansas on the TV. I had fun. I would be excited to do those games.
It's a good sport, especially if you're just getting into it and you're watching something. You need to be entertained. I mean, this is the best of the best, but you also have a game that moves so quickly, too. It's just snap efficient. I mean, even in a 0-0 game last night in the fifth, or yesterday in the fifth, watching that Stanford Oklahoma game, like there were moments of just like very, you know, very tense, as you pointed out, getting runners on base for Stanford, but then Jordy Ball is able to wiggle out of it, and then they get the two runs off of a left fielder who misplays a base hit. You know, it's exciting. It's a fun sport, and to see that we're having local representation in it as well, be nice to see Nebraska get back there here soon. But it's been good.
57-1 now.
Yeah.
It's just, that's insane.
Oklahoma. But Tennessee, watch out. Tennessee swept Texas and
Florida State looked really good.
And they beat Alabama 10-5 yesterday. Tennessee, Oklahoma in this next round will be a fun one to watch. Thanks, Jimmy. Mike Schaefer is going to stop by in just a moment on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.